Broadcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
I'm Shandy.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is season 5, episode 9, episode number 189. How is it going?
Oh, pretty good.
It is the end of August. 2020 is ticking on.
Is it? Yeah, I guess so. Oh, today I thought tomorrow was Thursday. Not to say that I thought today was Wednesday. It's just I thought tomorrow was Thursday.
I've had that moment several times this week as well. Like yesterday, I was shocked to learn it was still Monday. And then
I think I hadn't quite given thought to what today was. Because I inherently knew it was Tuesday because I had all my like normal Tuesday meetings.
Yeah.
But like I was like, wow, tomorrow is Thursday. This week is just flying by.
Last week,
the act of saying it aloud, I was like, no, you are 100% wrong.
I know exactly what you mean, though. Last week went by for me so quickly. Like, all of a sudden, it was Friday again, and we could not believe, like, that it had gone so fast. So, I don't know. Some weeks go slow in quarantine, and some weeks are like this. But last week, we had the distinct honor of pissing off an incel who... thought that he went ham on our YouTube page comments, but really he just ended up looking a little bit pathetic. So I'm assuming that this person, who shall not be named, but if I were to mention his name, Devin James with a 0 instead of an O, and you Googled his, not that this isn't doxing, right? This isn't doxing. Oh, who gives a shit? But anyway, I guess the fact that our last episode was titled Feminism is WAP. And by that,
oh,
I mean,
that's why.
Feminism is wet ass
pussy.
That's
what brought him there.
That brought him there because he left a comment, and the first comment I saw was, oh, a feminist that has no patience for her son and probably abuses him. He should tell you to shut the fuck up. And I was like, who is this? So at first I was, because I've actually worked with a Devin that's a woman. So first I had to assess, I was like, is it like, because you could never know on the internet, right? Like you could never know. But then I quickly determined it was a man. But, you know, at first I was like, okay, well, let me tread back carefully and respond because clearly this is a troll. But also, like, I don't want it out there that this is somebody that thinks I'm, like, abusing my son. And I believe the comments were at the start of the show last week. I talked about how we had a really difficult week with Zachary and with school. And I knew when I was editing it that it came off like I was complaining a lot. And I thought about taking the parts out where I talked about how at the end of that, one of those days, I was just like, can you just shut up? But I didn't, because I was like, it's relatable. I'm pretty sure, you know, 4 out of 5 parents listening probably had the same either thought or impulse. Or
I mean, I feel like there is an entire like hit book about telling your kid or feeling like you want to tell your kid to just go the fuck to sleep.
There is.
Right.
There is. There's a great video of Jennifer Garner reading it, too. But anyway, so I was, you know, so I responded back and like half like responding to a troll, half responding to a real person because I didn't know. And I just said, thanks for your ridiculous comment. You clearly don't have children. LOL. And I've never listened to the broadcast before. Not sure why you decided to troll us, but move along and have a nice day. Smiley face. So then they got back to me. I couldn't bring myself to listen to much of it, but how many times did you talk shit your son? First of all, anytime, Devin James, you'll have bad grammar, I am automatically like one thing maybe I can dismiss as typing fast, but when you're living at home in a basement by yourself, I'm going to assume you have plenty of time to get the fucking grammar right. Continues, feminists shouldn't be around boys. You clearly hate them. No periods or anything. Shouldn't be around boys. You clearly hate them, and he'll grow up to hate not only you, but other women. Now, that comment, I will admit, triggered me a little because of the story I told on the show in which Zachary said, I want a new mommy. So that
my question is this what happened to Devin?
I'm going to assume that Devin
that's a fair assumption to make, given the evidence presented.
So I was like, oh, so you're one of those dudes who hates feminism and take out their perceived grievances on women. Got it. Then I said, I love my children unconditionally. They know they're loved and supported. It's too bad you didn't listen through the end. You missed out on all the fun we had talking about your boy, Ben Shapiro. Maybe we'll do Hewitt next week, winky face. And then here is his great comeback for that. Are you guys ready? Great comeback. Yeah, I can tell how much you understood unconditional love and support by how you talk about your poor son. Well, that one cuts deep.
It's a step above. I know you are, but what am I? It's like, come on, friend. It's Charlotte.
Yeah. Parker. So listen, Devin, if you made it 2 minutes later in this episode than you did in the other one, because maybe I'll call this one Feminism is Still Wet Ass Pussy and really super trigger you so you can come back here. Guess what? It's been a long fucking quarantine. I haven't had a lot of outside interaction, and you can eat shit and move along.
Are people like this in the world? I just have to say, Devin, if you're listening, I feel really bad for you. Like, you were looking on the internet for things with the word feminism so that you could go spend your time listening to it and then leave angry comments. Like, how empty is your life? I am so sorry. Please
three
call
pages.
Someone.
The first three pages of his Google search results were literally just comments that were against feminism. There were a couple anti-religion ones, too, to be fair, but they were mostly anti-feminism ones.
So are you saying that he's a libertarian?
I would imagine so, yes.
I mean, that is exactly the duck.
Yeah, the intersection of like sexism and
I'm calling this
and,
episode
anti-religion.
I'm calling this episode If It Quacks Like a Feminist.
But seriously, honey, I'm worried about you, you know. Yeah, I hope you get alive.
There's more to life than hate listening, and
you guys are
trying to tear other people down. It's not a great way to live your life.
This is.
I have never listened to a podcast for the purpose that, like, that I knew I was going to hate. I was. This is the same reason why I'm not watching the Republican convention.
I'm not either.
It's such a waste of. And I can understand if somebody wants to watch the Republican convention to know what the other guys are saying. I guess.
I listen to podcasts to tell me that I'm good.
Yeah, but you don't have to watch it. Yeah, exactly. News people will tell you the highlights tomorrow. You do not need to watch it yourself.
Totally.
I did see.
But just the idea of like spending your time searching for things that you know you're going to disagree with so that you can then waste your time disagreeing with them online. Like you could have just, you could
not
have done
even disagreeing.
Just while in that time.
What it's not
hell?
Even
you could have taken a nap. I mean, you could have like, there's so much more to life.
Yeah.
You could have gone for a walk.
You could have joined.
You could have found a puppy to pet.
You could have, you could have touched yourself or you could have joined. A
you could have pet yourself.
Yeah. You could have joined a dating website. Maybe somebody else will do that for you. I don't know, but like, just saying.
You could have like read a book, made yourself smarter.
You could have gone to therapy and talked out your own mommy issues. Is it an Oedipus thing or is it just like another thing? I mean, you know, we don't care, but somebody out there does.
Yeah. I just never understood the impulse to troll or leave negative comments. It's like, what do you think you're accomplishing by doing it? It just boggles my mind.
This, they're accomplishing triggering the libs and getting a response like this so they get extra attention, which I am fully aware of.
We've given him enough of our air. Yeah. And maybe we should move on to happier things.
Yes. But
Devin, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. And if you ever want to come over to light, you should check out our broad topics episode. Like, those are good places to start. There's only two of them so far.
That's true. Instead of go fuck yourself, maybe let us offer you some assistance.
Yes. And
to broad topics.
Yes, please do. And if you want to hear me have a good story about my son. Good story about my son. Let me tell you a little something about what my my younger son did this morning. So, we took the bars off the crib last week, and he's been walking out of his room at all hours of the night. So we're pretty freaking tired, but you know, it's been kind of adorable. The other night we were watching Lovecraft County. At about 11 o'clock, he runs out of his room with his hands in the air, yelling, completely 100% buck naked. So,
did he go to bed buck naked?
He did not. Siri just said, "I don't. I'm not sure I understand." You know something? I also still do not understand. I mean, it was hilarious, but also it was a little jarring because we were like, "What are you doing?" Like, where's your clothes?
Did he have an explanation? What, did right. he want something?
I said, where's your clothes? Where's your pull-up? He goes, my pull-up is hiding.
Is it hiding alone?
It was, thankfully.
But like, so was he playing hide and go seek then?
He was not. He was like, just really like, ah, he was like, mama, ay, 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 boo. I don't even know. It was like gibberish. I heard mama at some point, but it was like gibberish. And he was just completely naked. He just ran out of the room. We were like, what?
Just and had, I wish. Just had to be free.
Well, and that was on Sunday night. And then on Saturday morning, so Friday into Saturday, a day before this, we heard pitter-patter at 5:04 in the morning. We were like, is that Alex? Because we ruled out it wasn't Zachary. So we're like, is that
Alex? It wasn't
Alex?
Loud enough?
It wasn't loud enough, exactly. And Zachary's, you know, a little closer and loud. And then all of a sudden, we see, like, the light go on. And he is in Zachary's room flicking the light on and off, on and off, on and off.
Wow, that's nice.
So I end up going back into the room with him because I love my children, Devin, and sat up with him from 5:30 until 7 when it's time to leave the room. Although I kind of half fell asleep on the hardwood floor next to him. Like I had one of his baby quilts. Like I was cuddled up in a ball with a pillow like underneath me to like make it less jarring. I was like, it's so cold in here. Why is the fan on? But I don't want to get up. But anyway, so yeah, this morning we wake up at 6. Jay wakes up at 6:45 and he's looking at his phone. And I was like, what's going on? He was like, Alex isn't in his bed. He left his bed at 6:15. It was 6:45. And I was like, oh, okay, well, where is he? And he goes, he's not in the room. I can't see him. So he gets up and guess where Alex is? Outside on the deck, riding his tricycle in circles.
No way.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes. So he got up at 6:15, went outside. Wait, hold on. Oh, I forgot to mention the fact that every single one of Alex's escapades, except the running out naked on Sunday night, he puts this blanket over his head, like for protection or an invisibility cloak or something. And you'll see him just walking around with a blanket over his head. That's what he was doing when he was doing Zach's lights. That's what he's doing at the random, like,
it's literally his security blanket.
It is. So he's outside with the blanket over him, just riding the tricycle in circles.
Oh my God. It's like an ET moment.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
So we were like, well, shit. So we have to get something. There are little things that you can put on, like sliding glass door locks from the inside. But for now, we just kind of put a piece of tape over it so he can't like move it to open it. And then we're going to have to figure out like what to do with him. Because I wanted to just lock him in. I was like, that'll teach him. And then Jay was like, well, what if there's a fire? And I was like, his room is literally next to the front door, like the window. He's fine. We can get out the front door and then get him through his window. It's fine. But still love my children, Devin. Just trying to be practical about my own sleep here. But anyway.
But man, like he wanted those bars down. And now he's just like full on
freedom.
Yeah. So he could just run amok.
And he is literally running amok.
Yep. He's taking back the night in his own way.
Do you think this was premeditated? Not like premeditated in the sense that when he asked you to take down the bars, he was thinking, okay, in about a week, I can just like let myself out in the mornings. Like Like, not that level of premeditation.
I don't know. I don't know, because Alex is pretty smart. I think that he wanted the bars down because they're in, like, the new room, like, at the daycare because, you know, that he's back in there. And they're on the little cots without the bars or anything. So I don't know if it was just, like, I'm a big kid now. And one of our reasonings for saying yes was because we were like, well, let's just rip. Alex doesn't do good with change. So let's just rip the band-aid off for everything, and it might be a rough couple of weeks, but you know, maybe changing like new classroom, new sleep situation, you know, perhaps we could just like, you know, kill all the birds with one stone at this age. And I don't know, it's definitely sort of sucked. He has fallen out of the bed multiple times. He manages to find ways to fall out of it.
Yeah. Dude, kids are resilient, though. Like, I remember when I was in second grade, my sister and I had bunk beds, and one time I fell off the top bunk and didn't even wake up.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious and scary at the same time.
I have no memory of it. Woke up to being put back into the top bunk.
Wow. Which is good. You felt the right way. Anyway, that was it. I'm sorry. I just spent 10 minutes telling a story about how my son is hilarious in the middle of the night.
It's a good story.
Sorry about that. Does anybody else have anything? We have got an action-packed show for you guys tonight. There's naked babies, anti-feminists. There's everything.
I believe we can call the anti-feminists sexists. It's maybe simpler.
Yeah.
Touche.
Misogynist. Yeah. I have been smoked in, and not like in the pot way. Last time we recorded, it was like the first day of, it was kind of a little bit smoky. And then since then, like the entire state started burning up. So that's fun. Here in Monterey, like we are right on the coast. We don't usually get smoke, except like when there was the campfire, we did get smoke for a long time. And that was in November, in case anyone does not remember. So
wow,
that was bad, bad, bad sign to have forest fire season in November. But anyway.
Did you guys rake the leaves this year? Is that a thing that happened?
Yeah. No, I think we must have forgotten. Yeah.
Darn it. Then you have nobody to blame but yourself.
I know. Our own damn fault. No leaves. Oh, too many leaves on the ground. But no, seriously, we are completely surrounded. The smoke has been so bad. It was just rough because we're sheltering in place. And then we couldn't even really open the doors. Like you open the door or a window and it's disgusting in your house and you feel like you just smoked back cigarettes. So that was rough. And it was pretty much like that from Tuesday, Wednesday, all until kind of yesterday. Today, the air quality is actually good. I got to go on a walk. So that's the other thing is there's nothing. So I'm sheltering in place. So I can't see anyone, but then also all of a sudden you can't even go outside. I've been doing at home yoga, so that's nice, but can't even go for a walk. Certainly can't go for a run. When it's been, in the past, when it's been smoky, you can at least go to the gym, right? But here, obviously no gym. So that's been a bummer. I did though read a really good book over the weekend and it was, it's one of those books. I mean, I just ripped through it in less than 2 days. It's called Rough Beauty by Karen Ovenen. Tasia sent it to me and she thought I would like it. And she was very, very right. And it was so, so good. So if anyone is looking for something to read, I highly recommend it. It's the kind of book where I miss it. I finished it on Sunday and I'm damn.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. I kind of wish I had. I mean, I'm glad I read it, but.
Yeah.
And I obviously couldn't. And it was, what else am I going to do when I'll smoke you outside? But I miss it. I was looking for something else to start reading today, and it was
So is that a recommendation for the Broadcast Book Club then?
100%.
Okay. Give me a title again. Let me write it down.
It's called Rough Beauty, 40 Seasons of Mountain Living.
We will put that in the show notes.
It's so, so good. It's a memoir. I don't know. I don't necessarily usually read a lot of memoirs, but I realized today with the book that I just picked up to read after starting it, I realized this is another autobiographical memoir. And the book I read before Rough Beauty was also a memoir. So I don't know. Something's going on, but...
You're at that stage of quarantine where you don't have a life, so you just want to read about everybody else's life.
Didn't even mean to, but seriously, Rough Beauty is so good. It's just really good.
Nice. Thank you.
So, I recommend it very much.
Sorry about what's going on in California with the fires, because that is really scary.
It's a super fucking bummer. So much acreage all at once and everywhere. We were supposed to go camping. It's going to be totally... smoke filled. There's going to be fires around, since kind of it's not a good idea to go there. We were looking at where we could maybe go instead. Cause like we could, you know, just like cancel there and try to find another place to camp. We're looking at the map, literally like there's nowhere to go. Like the only place not on fire is Death Valley. And they recorded like the hottest day on the planet there a while ago. So that's obviously out too. So.
Oh gosh.
It's just like, I know climate change has been like amping up over the past couple of years. And I feel like we are like, it's like, we're here. Like,
yeah,
this is the stuff we've been talking about.
We are kind of having two hurricanes right now.
Yeah. What more evidence do you need? So let's take a break right now to remind everyone, if you're not registered to vote, please register and go vote. This is one of the many things that is critically important that needs to be addressed right now. And voting will help guarantee that it is addressed.
Sorry, we've got time left.
We have no time.
I mean, we have negative time. This should have been done decades ago. But oh my God, we literally cannot live through another 4 years of ignoring this and making it worse. Like, literally.
Now, hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought, because I believe we have an email from Joanne later that will address this.
We do. And Joanne, I just have to say, side note, I really think you would like Rough Beauty. It's a personal call to you. You should read it. And everyone
else. Speaking directly to you in this moment.
Awesome. Cool. Amanda, did you have anything? Otherwise, I have something for you guys.
Ooh. I just have one little antidote to do.
Yes.
I have one little story. I biked to Red Hook, Brooklyn this weekend to meet up with a friend.
Do you have a brewery?
I was pretty excited. It was my first like solo trip going that far on my own, like, in a direction I didn't really know completely how to get there. So like that was really exciting. But like the big part of the story, on the way home, it's like the clouds were kind of rolling in. So we decided to kind of call it a day a little early to try and beat the rain. I looked at the radar and I was like, all right, yeah, I could probably get home before the rain's supposed to hit. I got halfway home. No. I was halfway up. There's a very steep hill in Brooklyn in the neighborhood of Park Slope.
Oh, no.
I was going up the slope and the sky opens up. I am 3 miles from home at that point. So I'm like, okay, we're ripping off the Band-Aid here. We're doing it. We're biking in torrential rain. All right. Okay. Had to happen someday. So I'm biking and it just keeps raining harder and harder and harder. Like every time I'm like, oh, this is as hard as it's going to get. It's going to start like, it just gets harder. So I'm like kind of laughing to myself like a maniacal crazy person because I'm like, this is just absurd.
Dude, you should have started singing like all the like rain songs, you know, just at the top of your lungs. Kiss the rain.
Right. But then so it's like I cut through Prospect Park on my way home and there's like a fairly sizable downhill in the park that I on a normal day don't enjoy. I'm still not comfortable going terribly fast on the bike. So I like ride my brakes down that entire hill because I'm a chicken and a scaredy cat and I'm terrified of everything. But when you're biking, for anyone who doesn't bike, this is a thing I learned, when brakes are wet, they don't really work.
Yes. That's why you're supposed to do the thing that you do with like car brakes. I did learn this. Where you just like tap gently to kind of get the water out of them.
Yeah. So what I did instead of doing that, I just got off and walked my bike down the hill. I was wearing like cute little leather strappy sandals. So I'm like flapping around like a duck because I keep like sliding.
Oh no. Just
probably added a good like 15 minutes to the trip. There's all like real bikers like zooming by me like, oh, novice.
I mean, to be fair, at that point, you're already drenched,
yeah, they might so. They might have been so like tunnel focused on like yeah. not.
Yeah. But I got to the bottom of the hill, got back on my bike, and just I kept going.
I love a good run or walk in the like pouring rain. I don't know about biking though, because of, you know, brakes and like, you know, mechanical error, but
yeah, and traffic and cars and it was a little but we made it. I have never been so wet from not Matt. There you go. There's one for next week for you.
There are a few.
There are. I'm sure. I never know what I'm saying.
Kind of a good story.
It looked like I fell in a pool. Like everything was sopping wet. Just it was such a mess. And then Daniel wasn't home when I got home, which I was kind of bummed about, because I was like, someone else needs to see this. Like, this is utterly ridiculous. Like, this is just funny. There was no one else here to enjoy it but the cat, and he didn't care. He just wanted to be fed.
Well, you know. But yeah, we all want that.
That was the big event of the week for me.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Oh, sounds like we all had someone.
I'm glad you made it safely home.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. I was fine. You know, it's, I feel
she
like
she might
a real,
have ditched
like,
the bike.
With every passing week, I'm becoming more and more like a real city cyclist.
Good times. All right. So I had a whole bunch of stuff to talk about in the middle of this show. Like, first, it started with I made bullet point lists of the DNC and the RNC.
Oh my God, we haven't even talked about that.
I know, we haven't. And then I had a paragraph of all of this stuff that happened. So, I'm sorry. So while I was starting to like research, I had made my list for that, and I was like, okay, great. This part of the show is done, so I need a palate cleanser. So I thought, well, I can transition into the Jerry Falwell Jr. stuff, because that Twitter party was pretty fucking funny. So I started to look up tweets for that, and then a tweet caught my eye that actually, now, I had already had, I don't want you to read what this paragraph says, but I had already had, see this big paragraph right there? Mm-hmm. I already had this listed as stuff to talk about. But I was going to just list it off and be like, hey guys, I think we need to do a broad topics episode next week because so much shit happened this past week that how would you guys feel about doing one on August 31st? I feel like we are in the fucking end game now, and I thought we were going to be in the end game in October, and we are already there because so much shit came out this week. So that was like my transition to being like, hey guys, does anybody want to do a broad topics on 31st? So then I saw this tweet that like bullet point listed all the things that happened this past week. And I was like, oh my God, I need to make a true or false quiz for Shandy and Amanda to see if they, all of the things that happened, if they know it or not. So I had gotten one Falwell tweet deep, and it was, marriage is one man, one woman, and one pool boy. That's in the Bible, right, Jerry Falwell? That was the kind of stuff I was looking for as a palate cleanser talking about the DNC. And the RNC. Because holy shit, that Kim Guilfoyle thing was fucking crazy.
Oh my God,
all of a sudden, I got a couple of text messages and saw like Twitter explode because I wasn't watching it. And simultaneously, everybody was like, why is she yelling? Like, why is she screaming? And like, my coworker Sarah texts me, she was like, just so you know, Kim Guilfoyle's on TV right on the RNC right now, screaming about, literally screaming at us and yelling about how her parents face difficulties as immigrants from Puerto Rico. Nobody has told any of them that Puerto Rico is, you know, an American territory, but cool. So anyway.
Yeah, like, dude, come on.
I watched the clip of her doing the thing, and then I watched that dude that had the Guilfoyle challenge today, and he, like, was outside the streets just, like, yelling, like, ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come! She's in, like, the Ava Perone pose, and, like, the memes that went around were just fantastic. Like, Twitter never lets me down when there's a good, like, thing to make fun of to come together. But anyway, the only part that I did see last night was I saw exactly 2 minutes of the Don Jr. coked out of his fucking mind show. I mean, that is a dude that was not sober. Him and Kim Guilfoyle, come on, they were doing lines. They were doing lines backstage because there's no way. Because they both came out with literally the most aggressive, like fast talking, loud, like rah, like, you know, speech.
They had to bring it. They had to bring it.
They did.
It's a Republican National Convention. God damn it, they had to bring it.
Anyway, all right. So that said, DNC beautiful. We could talk about that in a minute. You know, I my favorite part of the DNC was the roll call. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I cried. I loved it so much. I was like, this is great.
That's great.
Yeah. I hope they keep that in years, in future years. I think it adds a layer of what could be a kind of boring procedural part of the convention. It, it gives it a little magic.
It did. Like, instead of something that usually, like, you know, cut away from or people don't pay attention to, like, everybody got to showcase, like, their own state and, like, you know, say something about it. And some of them were really great. Like, some of them were, some of them were funny. Some of them were moving. I didn't understand at first why the Delaware people were like, Delaware passes. And I was like,
I know. What is happening? And I was like, oh, yeah, mine's from Delaware. Yeah. That's probably going last.
I was, because at first I was like, holy shit, is this a scandal? Why isn't anybody picked up on this?
I'm glad we all had the same thought.
Like, yeah. We all went on that little roller coaster.
Well, because the dude that did it was like my people. He was like super Italian, like Delaware passes.
Kind of stare.
Yeah, there was like an awkward silence.
They like hadn't, they didn't cut when they should have cut, and it was just the whole thing. I was like, what is happening?
It was so funny. I was really happy when they got, but then when they came back, it also took me a minute because the other guy was talking and I was like, oh, maybe they just don't want to let, like, you know, grandpa talk. and then I put it all together, like,
no, we're not ready.
We're not ready.
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, this guy had to memorize the prompter or something in the last 30 minutes.
Our one copy of the speech, spell that into the tracks, and someone has to go retrieve it. Come back to us.
Yeah, I was so confused. But then when they came back, I had to go through the states in my head to be like, okay, they're just cutting in, or is this the end? And then I was like, no, they ended with Wyoming, and that's the last one alphabetically. So yeah, I had this whole thing.
Yeah. Oh my God. Speaking of Wyoming.
Oh.
The shepherds.
Oh, right.
Holy shit. When I like, oh my God. Oh.
Yeah. Very moving.
There was a lot of very moving stuff in there.
Yeah.
That also took me a second. I like saw the name and then I was like, wait, is it what?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about Matthew Shepard's parents in case anybody hasn't figured it out. Yeah, that was great. That was really touching. Fred Gutenberg talking for Florida, the father of his daughter was killed at Parkland. There were a lot of like really touching and moving things. I'm assuming they were trying to portray real people, real stories. This is why we're voting. And I mean, it felt real and got through to me. I loved it. Yeah. Like I said, I shared it like everywhere. It was like, everybody's got to watch this.
Yeah. And I did have to.
You sent me the link.
What?
Yeah.
That's why I watched it. Cause you sent me the link. I had missed it. When it first aired. And I'm really glad you did because it really, you were right. It was not to be missed.
Yes.
It was, I had originally like sort of fast forwarded through most of it. Cause I was just fast forwarding to like speeches I wanted to see. That's what I did on the first two nights. And then, but for that, like I saw a little bit of it and then I was like, wait, I should actually go back. This is pretty good. So ended up watching the whole thing. The Montana one kind of made me laugh. Like, we can't get internet. I can't study at home because we don't have internet. Like, oh, not all of Montana's like that. But it's true that definitely I could see like rural. Yeah. She looked like she was in eastern Montana.
It's
a whole other state.
Yeah, you could tell, like, the lady from North Carolina was like, all right, I've been doing this for a long time, so let me just get straight to it. But no, I really liked that each state came up with something different to highlight their state. Agreed. And it was just, or their yeah. personal cause. Like, I thought it was really great.
Totally. I loved all the tribal representation too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So many languages. It was great. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Cause they even had the territories.
It was a good distinction to make that we have American citizens that can't actually vote.
Like Puerto Rico, like for Puerto example. Rico.
Anyway, I thought it was super cool. It was really, the territories thing was really informative too. So it was cool. I liked it. I think Michelle Obama's speech was my favorite out of all the nights.
Yeah.
So good. Her speech was so good. And I don't know. I think it was my favorite too. But Barack Obama's speech was like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was.
I think I loved Michelle Obama's speech. Like, maybe it was the, I don't know, whatever. You can't really say the best. Like, maybe it's dumb to like even try to think about ranking them. Like, they're all different and supposed to be different. But I thought Barack Obama's speech was just like so, you know, he's the guy, he's the hope guy. Like, he's always presenting us optimism. And for the first time, I think he got to like, you know, take off
you can the hear weight the urgency. Of optimism
a little bit
you can hear and, the urgency and be real. His voice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. That's an absolutely great way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the speech we needed to hear from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked the line that Bernie Sanders had when he said, Nero fiddled while Rome burned.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just stuttered through that, which I guess is also very on topic for the DNC. Just kidding. Nero fiddled that while Rome burned.
That. I love that.
We'll get to that. Trump golfs. And I thought that was perfect. Yeah. That was a great line. The little boy Braden who introduced Joe Biden, they had that like, you know, gut punch of emotions that last like half hour of the DNC with the Beau Biden stuff and Braden introducing him. And that kid had to have been the star, the like of the convention, like coming away, like the amount of, you know, just it's hard to get up there and speak like without a stutter when you're any age, and like to be 13 and, you know, do that with a stutter. Like, it was so great.
It was such a really interesting parallel to Trump when he was campaigning.
Because Trump would have been the dude making that fun, made fun of
like in 2016 or whatever, when he was making fun of people with disabilities.
Yeah.
To contrast that, like, that's what you get with the Trump brand of Republicanism.
And
just sort of like meanness as compared to this, like,
well, we're just telling it like it is. Like, fuck normal. Your feelings.
Yeah, no, and I love that because like the thing is, like, I do sort of like Democrats are called bleeding hearts for a reason. And the thing is, it's not bad to be a bleeding heart. It is not bad to fucking care about other people. Human beings. Like, that should be our default. And I really, really liked that this convention emphasized that so much. And I think that they can and they should have, and they did, because it's such a contrast to what we're getting with Trump. It's just, and we've almost become like, not like numb to it, but it is the new normal. This like, this meanness that we have every single day. And to go to something that's like, oh my God, like, you know, Trump has never expressed any true sorrow or sadness or regret or any sort of like condolences to all of the, you know, 170,000 plus people who have died from COVID.
He did express well wishes one time. He wished Ghislaine Maxwell well.
Right. So that's fake
news to say he's never actually wished something good on somebody else.
But like, it's just, yeah, I think it was a really welcome change to be like, oh yeah, like normal people have empathy. Yeah. And this is something that we should be cultivating just like under any circumstances, but especially now when we're supposed to be, when we're like living through this moment together and we really need to like, you know, be like have solidarity and help each other out. And it was great. It was really well done.
It was well done. I know that definitely some you know, more left people criticized the fact that there were so many Republicans that spoke at it, whereas the more progressive, like the AOCs, Julian Castro didn't get to speak, which, you know, is a legitimate criticism. They probably should have had more progressive speakers brought to the podium just to have more representation in general. But, you know, they think, though, the DNC politically, like what their goal to do is to also bring in new voters, like people that don't generally vote Democrat, because we are kind of like in a all hands on deck fight for the future of the country situation. So I didn't have as much of a problem with it than like other people did, but like I get it. Like, we need to make sure that we beat Donald Trump. And there is a lot of Republicans and independent voters who are teetering on the edge right now, where they've like never, ever, ever in their life voted for a Democrat. And they might not be on board with the racism or whatever. And, you know, but they've, I don't know. I mean, they might be if they're going to vote for Trump anyway, but they are undecided, or they might need that push, or they don't know what to do. And like,
yeah,
the election, I mean, to be clear,
they are on board with the racism.
They are on board with the racism. Yes.
If they're going to vote for Trump again, like, they can't pretend that they're not on board with the racism.
And the everything else, the cruelty, the racism, the tax cuts for people that aren't you, that are for, that are make a lot more money than you. But like, I understand, like, they had a job to get people to, like, you know, be on board to vote for Joe Biden, and people who are undecided, and I think they did a good job. Like, I honestly, I didn't watch the Kasich part. I didn't watch a single Republican speaker, including Colin Powell. I just didn't. I was like, all right.
Like, I get the thinking, but I think Kasich is too problematic a figure in his own right. Like,
figures.
It's like, I think it was a misstep. Like, I agree with the logic, and I agree with everything you said, Carl, but I think that there are so many young up and coming voices within the Democratic Party that like didn't get an opportunity to speak. And that's always been a problem for the DNC, is that, you know, the powers at top, like, just aren't, they're a little unwilling to release the reins and let the younger generation like step up and take leadership roles. So I think if I were to make one critique over what was a really great couple of days, I think really like stellar, it would have been that. It would have been nice to hear from some of the younger, you know, up and coming.
And I 100% agree. Like, I will give you that. There was actually an interview on Mehdi Hasan's podcast, Deconstructed, with Cori Bush, the progressive Black Lives Matter activist who won in Missouri. And she was like, you know, she spoke about, like, she was frustrated that there weren't a lot of progressives, like, represented. But she also recognized that they were represented in a lot of the videos that were put out there. And those videos are usually played while we cut away to pundits and, you know, commentators and whatnot, or commercial. And this time, at least everybody got the opportunity to watch those videos, because, you know, we got to see the whole thing without people cut away. So they there were progressive voices represented and causes, but they were more in like the special like videos versus like the keynote speakers or whatever the term is. So I totally understand. And yeah, there probably should have been, because you are trying to appeal to literally everybody. But I like the tone it had. I like the thing overall. Maybe we didn't need to hear from like 20 Republicans. Maybe we could have heard from like two.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if that's like the, I mean, I suppose like we can definitely sort of squabble over like how much has been there. I don't care to see those people talk. I'm fine. And it's a good point that maybe there were too many, but I liked that there were some.
Yeah.
Because I think that we do need to show Republicans that like, it's okay.
It's okay.
You don't have to
fall in line.
You can vote for the guy who's not, you know, an asshole. Like, it's okay. And so if that can win over any Republicans, then I think it's worth it. And I mean, it's like coalition building, and it's, you know, really like there was so much unity. Like, I loved how much they stressed party. So there's party unity, and then like even bringing in the stragglers, which, like, yes, of course we want the super progressives also, but like, I think right now what we need is some of those Republican voters. But I love the the party unity. And I was just lamenting that it could, like, that could have helped a lot in 2016, but loved everything that they did.
Right. Because it needs to be such a present landslide.
A unified front.
It needs to be such a landslide that, like, Trump looks ridiculous when he contests it. And that's why I think they needed to focus on those people, because there's a lot of Republicans and people who are, you know, swing voters back and forth, because it does happen more than we think, right? Like, it's because we grew up in households that voted one way or whatever. Like, when you talk to average people, they do go back and forth. So I do think that it's important to people who don't pay attention to politics, who don't pay attention to policy, who literally just get their news from their, you know, everyday news station, like, they don't follow it, but they know that there's a lot of tweets out there by Donald Trump that are divisive, and they know that there's this and they know that there's that. So I think this convention was geared to a message, because Joe Biden's address was very presidential versus, like, Trump's chaotic, throw everything that means fear at the wall. I saw a tweet today that was like, FDR said, "You have nothing to fear but fear itself." Donald Trump said, "Fear itself."
That's not right.
And they don't have a platform. So, yeah, like, you know, the criticisms that it was policy, it was fairly policy light from Joe Biden himself. The RNC literally released a statement the other day saying that they are not adopting a new platform this election. They're going to defer to Donald Trump. If you don't see the problem in referring to a dear leader to set everything like that, and I'm sorry, David Gott, I know you're going to come back at us and be like, "Well, I mean, shouldn't the party reflect the views of the president?" I don't know. Maybe look at the president and be like, "Is that what I want the views that I want my party to reflect?" Like,
for real.
Seriously. One person, not, you know, it's one person of many. Yeah. Oh, God.
Their platform, education, everything. Teach American exceptionalism.
Wow. I did read the title of an article. I didn't actually read the article, but I was scrolling through NPR a few days ago. And the article headline was something to the effect of, like, at the RNC, the Republicans are going to try to explain how to make America great again. Again.
Again.
Sorry, that was a terrible delivery. How to make America great again. Again. And I just thought it was coming from NPR, too. I was like, that is hilarious.
All right, any
I listened to the NPR Politics podcast, and probably the author of that article was one of the pundits and said that, like, on air. And I was like, oh, yeah. It's even better when spoken aloud. It's quite funny.
All right, last thoughts. And then I have that quiz, which is going to take a long time to get through at this point. Okay.
Well, then we might have to take a pee break before we do it.
I know, I kind of have to pee too. All right, last thoughts. We'll take a pee break. I'll give you the quiz. We'll do one or two things of feedback since we kind of went a little bit long today. That's what she said. And we'll call it a night. So, okay, last thoughts on the DNC.
Oh, it was beautiful. Kamala Harris's speech was
Even talk about Kamala's speech. Like, for all the critiques that she got while she was in the primaries, just about her demeanor, like, she was angry, she was attacking, she was whatever, like, she was warm and friendly and, like, came out there exuding, like, just this confidence. And, like, it was really moving to see history being made with the first Indian American and Black American woman on the ticket, third woman on the president on a vice presidential ticket, fourth woman on a ticket. So it was just great.
She's up there with the likes of Sarah Palin.
Okay, you have to ruin
such
it,
heights to aspire to.
That's the problem. Is like that's the whole problem with representation. Like, it's okay to have some shitty examples if you don't only have three examples to use it on. Basically. There's going to be some good and some bad, but yeah.
Cool. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then we will finish out the show. All right, we're back, and we're going to get into this quiz. And this quiz is what I am calling Name the Shit That Happened in the Last Week. True or false? So I'm going to give you a thing that supposedly happened, and you're going to tell me if this is true or false. You ready? Okay.
Yes.
On August 18th, the Senate Intelligence Committee released its final report, aka the Rubio Report, on Russian interference in the 2016 election, saying, quote, "We found irrefutable evidence of Russian meddling, including concluding that the Trump campaign and likely Donald Trump himself knew about it and welcomed it." True or false? True. Shandy?
It's true.
I'll go with Amanda.
Okay. True. You're right. Yay. I'm not keeping score. You're going to win.
So that, it was that last little bit that I wasn't sure of. And yeah. But that's part for the... There's
okay. Next question.
Yeah. James Comey was on Face the Nation on Sunday. That's why I know.
And there's just no... They were talking
about this. Maybe James Comey can like just not go
even
away.
In the news. It's like not even newsworthy.
Yes. Okay. And I was actually going to talk about this when you were talking about earlier, Shandy, how you mentioned that... you know, we're so desensitized that everything is just like a, you know, an hour long cycle or whatever. Like, this is a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Really needs to be a big deal. Anyway, regarding said report, Senate Intelligence Committee Chair Marco Rubio, who replaced former Chair Richard Burr after he resigned over insider trading charges, you know, because pandemic, issued a press release stating, quote, "We can say without any hesitation that the committee found absolutely no evidence that then candidate Donald Trump or his campaign colluded with the Russian government to meddle in the 2016 election," unquote. Did Marco Rubio release a press statement that said that?
Yeah, he probably did. True.
Even though he was the chair of the committee. That wrote said.
That's just that tracks.
That does feel right.
Yeah. True. Yep. They couldn't directly confirm.
He's a good soldier. He'll fall in line.
I believe that they could not directly confirm that the Trump campaign knew, but they did have soft evidence essentially that pretty much confirmed that they knew that because days that Roger Stone talked to Donald Trump were days that they have proof that Donald Trump talked to like WikiLeaks and like Russian people. And so, so although they cannot, same with Mueller, they can't conclude with absolute certainty. Essentially, they know that the campaign colluded and it was not even collusion. It was conspiracy. So,
womp,
womp. That's your party, Republicans. You are literally gaslighting the American people with press releases like that. That is not who most of you are, okay?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Come for the anti-abortion, stay for the racism and the gaslighting. Just saying. All right, next question three. On August 22nd, it was revealed that Jared Kushner arranged a private deal back in March with a Russian money man to buy 45 ventilators from Russia to help with the shortages in New York and New Jersey. America's Russian officials were reportedly caught off guard by the announcement, and officials were reportedly surprised to learn that they did not come from the American stockpile. These ventilators turned out to be faulty and unusable. True or false?
I kind of want that to be true.
You want it to be true?
Well, just in the fact that Jared Kushner is a terrible human being.
He's a terrible human being.
But he wouldn't have asked for help. He wanted New York to just die because they're a blue state. I'm going to say false.
I'm going to stick with true.
It's true.
Oh, my God.
Yes. There was a big news dump yesterday, like a huge news dump on Monday as of recording this. Like a lot of corruption came out. It was incredible. On August 7th, it was reported that, quote unquote, gullible White House negotiators paid up to $5 billion more for ventilators from the private company Royal Philips than the cost that President Obama had negotiated for said ventilators. So they paid $5 billion more than Obama negotiated them that they buy these ventilators for. True or false?
Definitely possible.
But is it true?
I think just judging by statistics, it's got to be false because we've had three true in a row.
Amanda?
It's my strategy at this point.
And you're sticking to it? This is your C? What a doubt go choice
exactly.
C?
Exactly.
Hell, I'm all in. It's true.
So it is false, but the story itself isn't false. It was actually a true story, but it was only 500 million, not 5 billion.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the B.
There were 43,000 ventilators purchased. Under this new deal, ventilators that the Obama administration had agreed to buy for $3,280 each suddenly cost $15,000 each. So Jared, Peter Navarro, Alex Azar, they paid $500 million more than what Obama negotiated for said ventilators that hadn't come in yet. And they were already overdue. They were given one extension. The Trump administration gave them another extension. And then they negotiated with the company to pay $500 million more.
The best negotiators.
The art of the deal. The art of the deal.
Right.
That's how deals get made. Yeah.
Offer them something outrageous.
And you pay more money.
Yeah.
Like, right? That's just how a good businessman makes a deal. I don't understand why you guys think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, offer them something outrageous and hope that they're honest enough to be like, oh, that's so silly. Yeah, you don't have to pay $12,000 more for the ventilators. We're going to be fair. Yep.
To be fair, if you're obsessed with the person before you that negotiated the better deal,
yeah,
then I guess it makes sense.
True.
Yeah.
All right. Number five, Jerry Falwell Jr. said on August 24th that he and his wife had a years-long affair with a former Miami pool boy, saying that, quote, "We have been trying to distance ourselves from this fatal attraction type situation, but he is trying to deliberately embarrass us for personal financial gain." True. End quote. True or false?
I don't know if the quote's true, but the situation's true.
Yeah. Yeah, the situation is true. But did he admit to it? That part I'm not certain.
Like, is he with Liberty University? Is he not?
I know, right? I like how they announced.
He says yes.
Look, as of recording this on Tuesday, they announced he resigned. He was like, fuck no, I don't resign. And... we'll see by Friday.
And I did see a recent headline that he did.
Was it updated for today? Because I think
I saw that today.
Okay. Because as of yesterday.
Bing bong, bing bong.
Yeah, they were going back and forth.
Why?
So anyway, true or false? Okay, it's not that hard.
I mean, it's true, but I don't know if the quote is true.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, you have to be sure that the whole thing I said was true, so.
Yeah, you know what? That does sound like a slimy way to get out of something. So, yeah, true.
Shanny Pants?
Sure.
It's false.
No, okay. I should have gone.
I made up that quote.
Are we keeping score?
I went through a bunch of his interviews from yesterday and combined quotes and made them we instead of she.
Oh.
Gotcha. Anyway, I mean, technically, you'd have a years-long affair, but Shanny, you were right about the quote not being true. He did actually use the phrase fatal attraction type situation, but referring to the fact that he claims that it was just his wife that was having the affair. Right. And then the pool boy came out yesterday and was like, oh, wait. And he released a statement that said, quote, "Becky and I developed an intimate relationship and Jerry enjoyed watching from the corner of the room," unquote. Which,
yeah. And here's the thing. I feel like this is going to give every sort of polyamorous person a bad name. And that's not it. If all the people involved are consenting adults and are cool with what's going down.
Get it, boy. Who cares?
What is not okay is if you are in a bigoted religious sect and you are spreading hate to the people who have anything but like a traditional monogamous heterosexual relationship. Then you don't get to play, you know?
And this gendered heterosexual.
Like we get to have fun. You don't.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I know this is going to be the next thing, I'm sure, somewhere. Like, you know, like democratic socialists are just socialists, right? They don't not understanding nuance and like, you know, phrasing and actual like. It's very frustrating.
And actual things.
You know, it's just, yeah. It's very frustrating. So I feel like you're like, well, the liberals who like to have their gay sex orgies are making fun of him for jerking it off in the corner while he washed his wife and sex. I was like, I can't even say what's crazy. And it's like, no, we
and
don't
then
care.
And lies about it and tries to throw her under the bus.
Right. Like, we don't give a shit
like,
that
at least
he did that.
The courage of your convictions, dude.
Right, he tried to throw his wife under the bus and be like, it's an affair. And it's like, no, 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 no. the evidence one, no, evidence 100,000,000,000,000 that you're a piece of shit. But like in this situation, yeah. like exhibit mm-hmm. A and like exhibit, yeah. like again, we don't care. Like jerk it to 100 people fucking your wife as long as everybody wants to be fucking each other. Like who gives right. a shit? Like participate, whatever, dude, like whatever.
Yeah. But don't be associated with something like Liberty University.
Right. Like right. don't be a part of a religion that mm-hmm. literally like shocks the gay out of people or yeah. or yep, you know yep. says if you
if
have premarital
okay
sex
for
you're a whore.
To do it, then it's certainly not okay for you to do it too.
Right. And who cares if you want to do it, go for it. Just don't tell them that they can't do it. Like mm-hmm. everybody's exactly. mm. Anyway, moving on. A superior A California Superior Court judge has ordered that President Donald Trump pay $44,100 to Stormy Daniels to reimburse her attorney fees in the legal battle surrounding her non-disclosure agreement, even though Judge S. James Otero of the U.S. District Court in Los Angeles threw out the case in March of 2019, calling Daniels' legal argument moot. True or
I want
false?
It to be true, but I think it's false.
Yeah, I want it to be true, too.
It is true!
Yay! Happy endings exist!
Number seven. After standing next to President Trump in the White House press room on Sunday, agreeing with everything he said about the miracle of COVID-19 antibody blood plasma, FDA Commissioner Stephen Hahn stated late on Monday that based on current testing results, he overstated the effectiveness of this plasma treatment. So although he stood next to Trump and said that the plasma treatment was a miracle cure, he said yesterday that it was overstated.
True
or false? Does somebody in the Trump administration that's not Dr. Fauci contradict him after a press conference?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he wants it back after being a yes boy.
So true?
Yes.
It is yeah. true. Number eight. In an exchange with Representative Katie Porter, Postmaster General DeJoy surprised the House committee members by telling them what a first-class postage stamp cost, as well as how much it costs to send a postcard and stating the rate for priority mail.
So false.
Yeah?
He only knew how much the stamp cost.
Sandy?
I didn't follow any of that, honestly.
Amanda is correct. This was a Dennis
nice.
Question because it was the post office. And he said, yep. false, quote, he knew the stamp, but admittedly had no clue about the postcard or priority mail, unquote.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
I love the post office. I am like personally like really offended that the state of our post office is in jeopardy. I'm very upset about it.
I do enjoy sending mail.
Who would have thought
people.
That this would ever be a thing?
I know, right?
Oh, they've been trying to get the post office privatized so they could profit off it themselves for years. Everybody could have known
made,
this was going to be a thing.
The Republicans will find a way to privatize and make money.
they've been trying to fund shit for decades. Got pointed
True
out
enough.
The last Rod Topics, like since Reagan, at least, just to try to make them private. All right. Next up, the SDNY subpoenaed Donald Trump Jr. as a part of their investigation into the Trump Org committing fraud by telling investors that their properties were worth more than they actually were. Jr. declined to testify back in July by pleading the fifth. So the SDNY subpoenaed him this week after he refused to testify on his constitutional rights back in July. True or false?
Oh, I feel like this is probably true.
I'll go with Amanda.
It's actually false. This happened, but it wasn't Donald Trump Jr. It was actually Eric Trump.
Oh, we always forget about Eric.
I
Eric's
know.
Out there doing stuff too.
He sure is. Yep. He's doing enough to plead. To plead
hey,
the
Dad, look at me. Look at me. I can do the company too.
I'll break some laws. You want to break some laws? What do you want me to do? Just tell me.
I'll break all the best laws. See, Dad?
I'll break them strongly.
All right. We're riding. Final
bigly, bigly broken laws. Do you love me now?
Quack if it's like a felonist. Get it? It's a planned felonist.
Quacks like a felonist.
All right. Here we go. Last stretch of questions. My favorites. Steve Bannon was arrested by the USPS on August 20th while aboard the yacht of a fugitive Chinese billionaire for skimming money from his We Build the Wall GoFundMe campaign. True or false?
Sure did.
It's true, Shandy.
He was arrested by the U.S. Postal Service?
He was. They actually, like, flew an airboat in. airboat. Postal Service is the best. Yeah. That's the best part of this whole story. It's literally the best part of this whole story is that it was the USPS that boarded. And he was directly in between Amanda's hometown and my hometown. He was arrested on the Long Island fucking Sound in the middle of Long Island, Connecticut.
I didn't know. Where in the Long Island Sound was he? What a terrible place to go yachting.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's not a very big body of water. There's lots of, like, little rocks sticking out of the ground that you can crash your yacht into.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Along the same lines, the yacht that Steve Bannon was on, which was, again, owned by a fugitive Chinese billionaire, was a part of the 4th of July pro-Trump boat parade. True or false?
How close to Long Island was it? Was it closer to Long Island or closer to Connecticut?
I think the boat parade was like Florida or something, but don't quote me on that. Oh. It might have been in New Jersey. I have no fucking idea. I didn't pay attention. All I know is a bunch of really shitty people had a boat parade for Trump, and it was stupid.
Yeah, that just seems like an odd place to have it.
True or false?
But that doesn't mean...
We're almost done, baby. We're almost done. True or false?
All right. That's weird enough. True.
I'll go with it.
It is true. There are pictures of said yacht in the boat parade. So just remember, when Donald Trump says that he is for the everyday American, he has million-dollar boats by Chinese billionaire fugitives a part of his boat parade. Yeah. So when you get worried...
He means everybody.
When you get worried that China has too much influence and Joe Biden is going to be too soft on the Chinese, just remember there are Chinese-owned boats, yachts, sailing our waters, parading for Trump. Just saying.
Yep. Wow.
All right. Last two questions. Over the weekend, Mary Trump released secret recordings of her Aunt Mary, of her Aunt Marianne Trump, in which the elder Trump confessed to the tax fraud that led her to resign from the Federal Circuit Court in 2018.
True. Is that part true? Okay, I knew that she said he was basically a terrible psychopathic person, but...
Actually, Shandy is right. She did not confess to the tax fraud.
I think I might have been true too aggressively
talk,
without really thinking about it.
I mean, she did commit the tax fraud.
Right.
But she didn't admit to it on the phone call. Yeah, good times. That Trump family, they're great. They all love each other very, very much. Family values. I'm getting very into this handhold mug thing. last question. Late last week, a California... Dennis did one of my questions. Well, that was the last question, everybody. But hold on, I'll ask you guys again. I'll ask you again to see if you want a bonus question. Late last week, a California court ordered President Donald Trump to pay $441,000 in attorney's fees to porn star actress Stormy Daniels. Was that true or false, ladies?
True.
Woo, you got it right.
Just as exciting the second time around. Yes. Justice. Sweet, sweet justice.
Yeah, and there was one more that was supposed to go on here, and I could not find the source for it, but I saw it on my... like through the news thing on my phone and like started to read it, but never finished it and forgot to save it. But I swear to God that this article alleged that hospitals were told that in order to get funding for COVID patients, it was contingent on them using one particular private company for equipment of some sort. And I can't find the source for it, so maybe it got pulled because it wasn't true. Maybe it was like fake news. Maybe I just was searching for the wrong terms because I was kind of reading it at a stoplight, to be honest. But like, if true, that's pretty crazy when you go through when you think about the fact that like conservative media for the last 6 months has been like, they're lying about COVID numbers because they want money. And there's no proof of that other than like one crazy fucking bitch that's going around saying it. So I don't know. But I thought that was crazy. And that was on here, but I could not find the source that I found it from because I was, you know, rushing to kind of get these done. So that's on, you know, if anybody wants to go out there and Google that, just putting it on your radar.
Well, thank you for your commitment to the truth.
Indeed.
finding proper sources and citations and being able to cite your sources. Thank you for making that a priority.
Anytime. And a huge thank you to Dennis for helping me out with some of these questions. Thank you so much. All right. I think it is time to get into some feedback real quick. Let's see. We're going to do this a little quick because we are running very far over. We'll start with the That's What She Said, and then we've got a couple of emails.
We're inching closer to 200.
Are we going to hit 200 before the end of 2020?
200 should be sometime in November, give or take.
I kind of want that to help me sleep tonight.
Matt, that one was for you, friend.
It's usually the last thing I look at before I go to bed. And very easy to be the first thing after the alarm clock. Well, that checks out.
Nice.
I look forward to doing them every other week.
There's not a ton of big wide spaces to do that.
It's a little bit late, but I decided to go for it, and I wasn't disappointed.
You put it on your everything.
I think it's a great piece.
Shandy, do you want me to take this?
Can I come in for a second?
I will pull it up.
You can see that too. Okay, that was a terrible delivery, but you know. You can see that too?
You can see that too? You can see that too.
You can see that too. You can see that too.
You can see that too.
Two, you can see that.
All right, Yoda.
Thanks. All right. Moving on to the emails. The first one is from Kate. And Kate says, hey, ladies, I thought of you the other day because I remember after my worst date story, you mentioned you wondered where that guy is now, and I actually know. As a recap, he was the one who met me at a bar close to work because he had a DUI and couldn't drive, sold weed because he has expensive tastes like True Religion jeans, took lots of smoke breaks, etc. Oh, that's right. Yes, I do remember this guy. Well, a mutual friend from work tagged him in a post on Facebook, so of course I had to check it out. Yes. I couldn't tell much, but he has a girlfriend and now a young baby, and I'm shook. Please let this man have gotten it together now.
Yeah.
So
good for him. You just never know.
You just never know. Thank you for sharing, Kate. Next up, we have an email from Mandy.
All right. Mandy's email is titled Homework. It's day three of schooling at home, and my 10-year-old just brought me her homework. She was told to ask me these questions and then write or draw her reflection of my answers. I love that they are learning this and had to share. There is hope. So question one, what are human rights and how can they be threatened? Question two, how can we use writing to raise the awareness of human rights? And then she gave us a lovely little screen cap of the homework, and it's super cute.
It is very cute.
It is really cute.
Those are fucking great questions.
Those are really great questions. They had similar questions in Raleigh, or in Wake County, rather. And one of them was analyzing like recent news stuff, which is actually stuff that my mom teaches, where she gives them articles about current events and then they have to like discuss it. And it was high school, and there were parents that straight up complained about the liberal agenda because some of the images involved Black Lives Matter, which is a current event going on. And it was, you know, I guess it was a social studies class or whatever, but like there were conservative parents that raised hell that the liberal agenda was being pushed in school. And we've got school board members that are conservatives that were freaking out. And it's like, I didn't see the assignment, obviously, but from what I read about it, like there were several current event stuff going on. But the fact that Black Lives Matter was included in it and there was graffiti or a sign or something in one of the pictures that had like the F word, that it was like, they're teaching profanity and how dare they? So
the teachers ended up
freaking check yourself.
The teachers ended up taking the assignment down because of the,
oh my God.
I mean, you don't want to lose your job in the middle of a pandemic.
Right. Too. But then that's a lesson all in and of itself.
Yeah.
That, oh, like, I know. You know, like what are those all kids that walk away with learning from that interaction? Like,
they're going to walk away believing whatever their parents believed, because that was probably the goal. And that sucks, because maybe they could have actually had a discussion like about it with like other friends online that might have a different perspective of them. But like, yeah, but it was a huge, it was a big controversy last week that like, you know, how dare they infiltrate our schools and make them look at Black Lives Matter and not teach them about how great America is. But there was also a question where they were asked, it was like maybe ninth grade students, eighth grade students were asked to write an essay or something about themselves, and they had to answer certain questions. And one of the questions was, what religion do you practice? And that also fell under fire, because you're not supposed to, you know, ask people about what religion that they practice too. So it was a rough week for for Wake County, teachers that were.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah. Love that, Mandy. Thank you for sharing. Our last email is from Joanne.
All right. Joanne writes in Scattershot. I love that title. Dear Broads, so you called me out on the last broadcast, and in return, here's a scattershot of notes, thoughts, etc. Topic number one, climate change. I was not going to include this topic, but just saw this post. Those 3% of scientific papers that deny climate change, review found them all flawed. Imagine that. long URL, so you may just want to post in the infamous show notes.
I shall. This article is from September 5th, 2017, and it mentions that 97% of papers conclude that global warming is real, problematic for the planet, and has been exacerbated by human activity. And then it goes on to explain the problems with the other 3% of the papers, including three main errors that were from cherry-picked results that conveniently supported their conclusion about it. And I will post this in the show notes.
Thank you. Spoiler alert, if that was published in 2017, it's only gotten worse. Topic number two, Goodreads. Not sure if this has been recommended by others already. I just finished a book that I believe all three of you would love, except for the length of 470 pages. Oof. You know, if it's a really good book, that means that I'll have more time to sit with it and be with it, so I won't have to miss it so soon. Fair after enough. Finishing it.
Yes. I'm a very slow reader, so I look at that page length and I'm like, oh, well, that's 6 months right there.
So the book is City of Girls by Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love. The story is primarily a coming-of-age story set in the New York theater district of the 1940s. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be a fast read because it flows and connects so well.
Nice.
Topic three, Phyllis Schlafly. I specifically stayed away from Mrs. America because I could not stand her when she was alive and had no desire to revisit the destruction she caused. Perhaps the show overdid her importance, but I lived through that time, and she was definitely the face of ERA resistance. And if nothing else, she gave women the cover for opposing the amendment, even though the premises to do so were false. Do not underestimate her importance, even if there was a larger corporate push behind the scenes.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
I was just going to say, I respect that position, but I just wanted to say that Cate Blanchett, though, like that performance.
Yeah.
She's really good.
She's just a beast of an actress. Like, she's so amazing.
But definitely everything that I saw in the show and then subsequently Googled about Phyllis Schlafly points to her being a piece of shit human being.
True.
Topic number four, our fake history and culturism. I was caught up to all the episodes and it was almost all great. I did have an issue with a couple of ones dealing with the paranormal. The most recent was the end of season 5. As the host admits, he is biased to European history, but was trying to focus more on the rest of the world. Throughout European history, a key ingredient is that the early historians and some of the most recent ones may have written detailed histories, but much of it was myth and embellishment. In the last episode on the alleged richest man in the world, King Mansa Musa of Mali, he noted a statement from a historian of the 1960s who considered African history to be unimportant since it was oral in nature, so it could not be trusted. And yet the written European histories are in reality as untrustworthy, if not more so. Our culture favors literacy, so literacy must be right. Anyway, a great lesson to understand not just history, but how we interpret and misinterpret events. Excellent point.
Interesting, really.
Topic 5, Nice White Parents, the latest serial podcast. It really does a great job making you think about how white privilege and white points of view can overwhelm and destroy, even when it is done with supposedly good intentions. It is about segregation in New York public schools. And after Amanda's recommendation of it, I listened to that all that last week. It was very good. Oof. I agree.
Yeah, that's a lot, though. I've been doing them week by week, like going through them all at once. That's heavy. That's a lot.
It's a lot, but it was like captivating, well done, enraging, and eye-opening. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's funny things. That you say that, because honestly, I keep downloading them week by week and just saving them for when I can binge them.
You can binge them now. Like there's 5 episodes. They're all that's it.
Yeah, but then it's done after 5?
Done.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that. Okay, yeah. Well, that's good to know. Thank you.
Yep. There you go. Okay, that is what you get for calling me out on a podcast. Till next time, Joanne.
We should call you out every week.
And then Joanne.
Yeah, seriously, if that's what it takes to get that gem of a whole host, it's not even one gem. It's like a whole treasure chest. So, yes. You know, I have to call you out more often.
I want Joanne's thoughts on rough beauty. It's another call. I've learned.
Just to go back to Nice White Parents, I actually, you know, I've been off Facebook for a bit, not, you know, on doing whatever, but just because I don't check it during the day. I only check it, you know, in the evening for the most part. And there was, I think everybody's probably heard the story of the man that was shot in Wisconsin in front of his children, yes. Jacob Blake.
Yes.
And I did see the video on Twitter, because I do pop into Twitter from time to time during the day. I just check to see what's trending mainly, to know if there's something that like I need to go look at. And I did see the video because it was popped up in the trending, and it was awful and terrible and whatever. And the narrative that's come out about this shooting is that, you know, well, he had warrants out for his arrest, and he was, you know, wanted on sexual assault charges or something like that. And I haven't, honestly, I'm not sure exactly, because I have the privilege of catching up on it daily instead of having to, you know, catch up, you know, all the time on it. And I just want to say, like, for anybody out there that might think that somebody who's not armed was justified being shot in the back 8 times because they walked away from police when they said to stop, not because they were breaking the law, but because they were breaking up a fight. Like, even though, like, the prior convictions, like, we're supposed to all believe in a legal system that will address those allegations separately. It's not, the police are not the judge, jury, and executioners in American society. They're not supposed to be. They're supposed to protect and serve us. And the fact that so many people are very quick to judge someone, which, I mean, you know, if he was somebody that committed sexual assault, then, like, yeah, fuck him. But, like, that doesn't mean that the police had the right to kill him over walking away from them while he was trying to stop a fight between two other people. Like, there's a, like, we either believe in the notion that, you know, we have a court system that will work, but let's be honest, the point of the Black Lives Matter movement is to raise awareness of the fact that the only reason he was shot was because he was Black. His prior history is only being brought up because he was Black. If, let's say, Brock Turner was shot tomorrow, in the back. He wouldn't be shot in the back, actually. He wouldn't be. The police would see him walking away, getting into a car with his children, and they would not see it as a threat, so they would not be shooting him in the back. And that's the point. Just wanted to put that out there, that if you're saying let's wait for the truth, there's a fucking video. Like, we don't need to see. I don't know what more you can see other than like what's in your eyes. Even if he was walking around his car being like, yo, fuck you guys. Mm-hmm. It still doesn't mean that the penalty is not death or attempted death. Like, that's just
right.
That's not right. Like, remember, Brock Turner raped a woman. We heard about it. It was really gross, and that motherfucker still got out after a few months in jail, and he still got, like, that expunged from his record or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, don't at me if I'm wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure. So, like, let's
But the ultimate point you're trying to make is correct.
The ultimate point I'm trying to make is, our
justice
like,
system, there's two separate justice systems in this country, one for white males and one for black people in this country, and it's just not right.
Right. It was very disturbing to watch, and if you think that all lives matter, remember that all lives do not matter until black lives matter, until indigenous lives matter, until brown lives matter, until every life literally matters, then all lives do not matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yep. And Breonna Taylor has still not gotten her justice yet. So,
but that dude that killed her did go to the beach and posted pictures on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
So.
All right. Well, on that note, everybody, just remember when you start to feel down that Steve Bannon was arrested by the USPS this week.
Again, the best people. All the best people, all of them felons.
There's a list of people that worked in the Trump administration or on his campaign and then went to his administration. And it's pretty astounding, like, how many of them have been, you know, the criminals. I'm just saying. And you know something? Listen, guys, nobody has shot Steve Bannon in the back yet 8 times. nobody has shot any of them in the back yet. Like, they all got out for COVID behavior. So anyway, on that note, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you. We're going to be off on the week of September 8th. If you want to shop through the Amazon affiliates link again, it's janejack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/janejack or go to janejack.com and click on the Become a Patron's link at the top right-hand corner of the page. Our bonus episode for the month of August will be out by the end of the month, so keep an eye out for that. Thank you to the patrons that contribute a certain level, and that would be Eckhart Rickner, Tack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Well, thank you guys again. And yeah, if you want to submit feedback to anything we said today, if your name is Devin, you can go fuck yourself still. You do not have to submit feedback. We do not give a shit. despite the fact that I'm still bringing this up. But yeah, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. On that note, I don't have anything. Do you guys have anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, thanks guys for listening, and we will catch you next week for our show. Have a great week.
Bye. Peace out.